This is Ridgely speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. It's been a very busy year here in Northwest Indiana for economic development, and that's despite the pandemic. We'll find out more about the local as well as some of the state's economic development initiatives that are underway. Heather Ennis is the president and CEO of the Northwest Indiana Forum, and she's joining us from the office. Heather, thanks for joining us on Lakeshore Public Radio.
Thanks so much for having me, Chris.
Well, it's been a very, very busy year, I know, so far. There have been a number of things that I want you to, if you will, to bring us up to date on. But first, bring us up to date on one of the reasons that Governor Eric Holcomb made a visit to the Indiana Dunes State Park Pavilion here just this past month, talking about economic development in particular.
Yeah, we were so delighted to host the governor at the new pavilion at the Indiana Dunes State Park. He was awed by the lakefront as well as the pavilion and the restoration that's going on there. Just an amazing opportunity. But he came up to talk about the READY grant application. The Northwest Indiana Forum is shepherding that process. And so we had an opportunity to sit down and talk with him about his hopes and dreams through the READY application, which is the Regional Economic Accelerator Development Initiative through the state of Indiana.
What is the program like that within Northwest Indiana in particular, or is this, I guess, something that has been built out primarily for the entire state?
Yeah, so it's a statewide program. There's $500 million that have been allocated by the legislature. So this is similar to the Regional Cities Initiative, really focused on advancing quality of life, quality of place, quality of opportunity for the region. For the regions, I should say, 18 regions are vying for the $500 million. So we are one of the 18. And in our application, we're covering the seven counties of Northwest Indiana. So it's been a pretty exciting task.
Has this been basically an initiative, although it's a statewide initiative now, but there have been parts of it that maybe the state officials in Indianapolis took a look at what was happening up here in Northwest Indiana and decided these are good ideas that maybe we should encourage other parts of Indiana to take on?
Yeah, and so we're really lucky. Ignite the Region, which is our seven-county regional economic development plan, Ignite the Region Northwest Indiana Strategy for Economic Transformation was released in 2018, and our five pillars of Ignite: business development, marketing, entrepreneurship, innovation, infrastructure, talent, and placemaking are the basis for our building blocks of the READY application. So, so I think that, you know, when the governor was up here, he was really excited about a lot of the things that we have going on in those sectors, and really has been a champion for things happening in Northwest Indiana, talking about the things happening around the state, but really looking to help promote our region as well.
I know that he's been very, very keen on making sure that there are great opportunities, if they haven't been, to make sure that they are developed into workforce development. That's the key thing, not only to keep Hoosiers working in Indiana, but bringing people from other states to come and live and work in Indiana. Is a lot of what he talked about when he was up here visiting back in August, that is something that certainly has been on the radar screen here in Northwest Indiana for a long time.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, our talent pillar for Ignite the Region is a strong pillar. And now, previously under the leadership of Linda Wallachansky from Center of Workforce Innovation, now Lisa Doherty, who's heading up Center of Workforce Innovation, have been champions of that talent pillar. You know, as I said, the forum is shepherding this, but it's not something that's happening with us alone. So getting workforce engaged, attracting population to the region, helping to create that quality of place so that folks want to live here and then feel engaged in their community and can get the education that they need to help continue to grow their skill set to be engaged in an ever-evolving workforce need. You know, the things are moving fast and furious and we old dogs need to learn new tricks pretty quickly.
I know that the governor is keeping an eye on, he's had a lot of things to keep an eye on around the entire state of Indiana, but in particular in Northwest Indiana, he's been able to very closely watch the initiatives created locally and getting help federally concerning the South Shore line. And I'm sure that he's probably glad he's back up here to visit, because although he couldn't probably spend very much time taking a look at him. He could have an opportunity to see some of the preliminary work that's already been done on the double tracking project running through Gary over to Michigan City and other places in the state.
We couldn't be more grateful for the investment that the state's made in that project, as well as the federal government and the local governments. This truly is an economic development opportunity for the region and a game-changing opportunity to attract talent and to have talent take a reverse commute to come in to work in jobs in Northwest Indiana. So really reducing that travel time is a significant factor in helping us to gain more population and to gain workforce. So, that project really, we feel like, has an opportunity to revolutionize Northwest Indiana. And that was our first regional cities application. And so on this Ready Grant application, we'll put in some projects that enhance that, as well as some projects to help keep people connected to that through different systems of transportation, as well as building on the talent that we already have here in the region and helping folks that are here be connected to meaningful employment.
We're talking with Heather Innes, who's the president and CEO of the Northwest Indiana Forum. And we mentioned here at the outset of our conversation, talking about being a very busy 2021, to be sure. Has the pandemic, even though it's still out there raging, is it causing any problems, or have we been able to kind of work as best as we can through the pandemic and get businesses to grow and expand and bring more jobs in?
You know, remarkably, in 2020, we outperformed 2019 numbers. So as we saw on the economic development front in 2020, we had more jobs committed at higher wages and more capital investment than we saw the year before. We're continuing to see great growth in 2021. We're continuing to see great interest in Northwest Indiana. Some of our linchpins or things that we need to work on are getting more product out there. Mm-hmm. Our housing inventory is very low. Our industrial inventory is very low. So being able to continue to grow those numbers require us to make some investments in things to be able to keep our inventory levels up.
Have we noticed that despite the pandemic, you mentioned some things that need improvement, that have we been able to do the things that we want to do in preparation to have more initiatives underway even into the rest of this year?
Yeah, and Chris, that's a really great point. There's an awful lot of federal dollars that are out there too. So these planning processes are really helping us to be better organized and better have our act together as these dollars come online. So we know where we want to put the investment. We know what things we need to invest in. As we were building out this Ready application process, we built almost $600 million worth of project ask with about $2.5 billion worth of match through this process. So as federal dollars come online, as additional state dollars come online, as different philanthropic organizations are looking at opportunities in the region, we really have a solid plan crafted that can showcase where the opportunities are in Northwest Indiana and which ones are most primed for investment.
I know that you've mentioned some of the things that are underway in planning and getting ready for implementation. Are we going to be able to find more opportunities, if they haven't popped up yet, to get take advantage of the federal money that the whole region is going to get? Because I know that a lot of the funds coming in from the federal government will be coming in locally and they'll be allocated locally. Are any of these areas of funding or going to be available through the Northwest Indiana Forum to get directed to these bigger projects?
You know, we're working with NERPC and CRPC, the regional planning organizations, for those federal dollars. They both have economic development districts that have the opportunity to apply for those federal dollars. So there's great opportunity around those organizations. We're looking at the Build Back Better. There's a jobs component one. I'm sorry, the name slips my mind right now. Mm-hmm. But there's an awful lot of federal dollars that are floating around out there that we're working toward looking at this plan and looking at the different components of this plan and seeing what projects fit into what silo of dollars that are coming down. So really trying to evaluate, these 12 projects might be best suited for these Ready dollars, and these might be best suited for Build Back Better, and how do we make the whole ecosystem stronger by the opportunities for funding that are out there right now. And then again, you know, trying to continue to raise the elevation of Northwest Indiana to get attention from folks like the Lilly Foundation or the White Family Foundation, so that they can see that we really have a strongly crafted plan.
Now, as we're going into the last quarter of 2021, are there any programs or events or seminars that the Northwest Indiana Forum has maybe in the planning stages that they want to get in place here before the end of the year to help boost things along? Or are you going to just kind of wait and see how things happen in Washington for some of these projects?
So we will. We have an Ignite the Region luncheon that we're working on for middle of November right now. And really, as we get this ready application completed, it's due September 30th. That'll give us an opportunity in November to really showcase this plan and tell the region. We've been working on it with partners from all around the region, but then to showcase it to the region as a whole and show the great work that's been done by, you know, over 500 business and community leaders around the region. So, and giving an update on the plan and where we're going. And then the application process then we'll present to the IEDC at the end of October or beginning of November. And then hopefully we'll have dollars and money to celebrate at the beginning of 2022. Excuse me. Time's flying. And that we'll be able to show, you know, that we'll be able to really bring home some dollars to Northwest Indiana, hopefully $50 million. To help advance these projects.
Now, Heather, let's swing back around here to what Governor Eric Holcomb had to say when he came to visit here back at the end of August. He was very impressed. I got the impression that he hadn't been up to the Indiana Dunes State Park in quite a while, and maybe not since the pavilion was worked on. And he was very impressed with what he saw.
Yeah, he absolutely was, and he was so excited about it. And it was just fun to watch him tour the facility. And he's like, oh my gosh, we've got to get a high def camera crew up here to check this out and to showcase this. I need to be showing this as I'm traveling around the world, telling the story of Indiana. This is a crown jewel, and we really need to be showcasing this. So he was extremely impressed with the things that we have going on here in Northwest Indiana. The state government is from the legislative perspective as well as from the governor's office has done a very great job of keeping us extremely competitive. So on the economic development front, we're able to win jobs and investment for the region. And so, just really fun for him to be able to see what we have going on here and say, I want to spend, you know, a whole day here with a camera crew and talk about the top 10 things happening in Northwest Indiana and take it to the world.
So, I know that the Indiana tourism people like to spend time focusing and showcasing different segments of the state, and they do Northwest Indiana from time to time. But sounds like it's time to make that other visit that the governor just mentioned, that you just mentioned now.
Yeah, so it's all fun stuff, and we can't thank the folks in Northwest Indiana enough for all the hard work that they're doing to continue to make this region awesome. I mean, I love the people that are here and the work that we get to do. It's really a blessing.
Heather Ennis is the president and CEO of the Northwest Indiana Forum. And Heather, thank you for joining us with the update on economic development projects in Indiana, Northwest Indiana, and in particular, how the state and federal money is going to help make an impact on the projects to come in the future. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Chris. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. You're listening to Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. The Association for the Wolf Lake Initiative is going to host, once again, another series of Calumet Revisited Forums. It's a speaker series that happens and begins in the fall every year. And this year's series of Calumet Forum speaking engagements will begin this afternoon, actually. It all happens, of course, at Calumet College in Whiting. And with us to talk more about the event, as well as the people that are going to be speaking this time around, we have Michael Bowes with the Association for the Wolf Lake Initiative. And Michael, thank you for joining us on the show today.
Good morning, Chris. Yes, thank you for asking me.
Paul Labus, if I'm pronouncing his last name right, I hope I am, from Whiting, is the first speaker in the series, which is coming up today. But first, let me ask you if you will give us an idea for folks that are not familiar with what the Calumet Revisited Forum is all about. What is the goal of the forums, all the speakers that come together every year?
Well, which created the kind that revisited forums about 8 years ago. And these are just monthly discussions led by guest speakers who shed light on the region's rich human history and environmental treasures. In addition, participants also share practical suggestions for meeting the needs of region residents while honoring and preserving the natural beauty around us.
Tell us a little bit. Go ahead.
That's quite a handful.
Yeah, certainly is. Well, Paul's been a very, very busy person in his career. And since he's just retired, I guess we're all glad that he's still very much devoted and passionate about nature and particularly the nature here in Northwest Indiana. You mentioned about some of the things that he's picked up awards, I know, too. What sorts of awards has Paul received over the years in particular that have led up to because of his leadership and his planning for the Indiana Dunes area?
Well, he was awarded the Paul H. Douglas Award by the Save the Dunes Council for contributing his talents for leadership and planning in the Indiana Dunes region. I can remember him working maybe three decades ago, so it's been a long tenure for him.
Mm-hmm.
As he was worked for the Nature Conservancy as director of the Northwest Indiana region.
Have we found we found that he's certainly been a champion of this type of a stewardship in particular, and he's certainly carrying it on, too, with being a member of the speaker series, too, I imagine.
Yes, and I pronounce his name Labus.
Okay.
Paul Labus.
Well, we'll go with that pronunciation. That's good.
I may have it wrong, too. So, but anyway, yes, he'll begin tonight at 5 p.m., and we're doing this by Zoom. Unfortunately, we were planning to do everything in person this year, but COVID has different ideas, I guess.
Yeah, that's to be sure.
But the rest of the sessions we'll deal with as they come up, but I would assume maybe for the next couple it will be by Zoom. But hopefully, as we go on, we might do it in person and possibly hybrid, both in person and by Zoom. We've been thinking about doing that as well.
Let's hope not.
Tonight will be by Zoom.
Paul
is the first speaker. We have on October 5th, Climate Revisited always occurs on the first Tuesday of the month.
Right.
And on October 5th, Walter Skiba, Associate Professor of Arts and Humanities at Calumet College, and Dr. Amy McCormick, who is President of Calumet College, will speak on the history of the college and future plans for the institution. And they've been, set of speakers that that speak every year.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the other speakers are maybe this will be their first time.
I see.
On November 2nd, Rod Sellers of the Southeast Chicago Historical Society, Dr. Christine Wally of MIT and author of Exit Zero, and Dr. Chris Babel. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how he pronounces it, but he's also from MIT. And they will be talking about the new Southeast Chicago Archive and Storytelling Project website. And then in December, Dave McGowan of Ravenswood Media will be speaking on filming the Wolf Lake Watershed. He's playing a 1-hour documentary on the watershed, and he recently did a 10-minute film for the Association for the Wolf Lake Initiative.
Oh,
and I should say it's The Association for the Wolf Lake Initiative is actually co-sponsoring this with China colleagues. And Dr. Valerie Penninen is my co-host. So she'll be on this evening, and she is at all of our events. In January, while Dave McGowan is filming the watershed, Matthew Kaplan, a writing native, is actually photographing the Calumet region.
Wow.
And he'll be talking about his experiences in doing that. And he worked for years for BP, and a lot of his subjects are in the Whiting, Hammond area.
And
in February,
yeah.
Dr. Larry McClellan, who has spoken in past years, will be returning to speak on the Chicago's contribution to the Underground Railroad in the Calumet region. And he's written several other books on the Underground Railroad in different parts of
Yeah, I've had a chance to see one of his presentations done on YouTube sometime last year, I guess. It was from some time past. But he's very, very much interested in the Underground Railroad. And it's for people that are not even aware of the impact that it has on Northwest Indiana, they have to watch these and see what they're all about. He's very detailed about that, and there's a lot more there you can learn from watching him.
And I'm glad you
mentioned
that, Chris, because we record, at least when we're on Zoom, we record all of our talks, and then you can find them on our website. So if you happen to miss one, you can always go to our website and find out what you missed.
Okay. Now
also add that if anyone's interested in getting an invitation, like to tonight's gathering, you can email Ollie at michael@wolflakeinitiative.org. That's michael@wolflakeinitiative.org. Or you can call me at area code 219-933-7149. Area code 219-933-7149.
Well, Michael, thank you for spending time telling us about at least the first half or more of the series of 2021-2022 Calumet Revisited Forums speaking series. The first one coming up this evening at 5 o'clock, and it'll be available on Zoom. And you've mentioned how you can get the invitation to be able to participate and watch what Paul Labus of Whiting has to say. And we'll be back with you soon to talk about some of the other topics coming up with the Wolf Lake Initiative. Thank you for being with us today.
And thank you, Chris. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. You're listening to Regionally Speaking. This next story comes to you from the Welcome Project at Valparaiso University. The Welcome Project collects first-person stories and pairs these with intentional conversation to help forge stronger ties within and across our communities.
I am a teacher of the Deaf and Hard of Hearing with the Northwest Indiana Special Education Cooperative. I started out teaching in Gary. Had the thought that I would move to somewhere else after my dad passed away. So I went to Georgia for a year. Hated that because I am strictly a Midwest girl. I cannot do anything south of Nashville. I know that now. And so I came back, went back to Gary for another couple of years. And then as the numbers decreased of the number of kids that they had who were deaf and hard of hearing in the Gary schools, I went to the Northwest Indiana Special Ed Cooperative because they service, at the time, they had 10 different school districts, so there was a lot more job security there. We would always have a number of deaf and hard of hearing kids. And so I've been doing this. This is my 21st year. My work day is, it's kind of varied because I'm an itinerant teacher. So what that means is because we, at this time, we have 8 member school districts in our cooperative. So I go to the students. The trend now is to mainstream a lot of students. So I may have just one student in the entire district that's deaf and hard of hearing. So I may have some students who I may be at a preschool with a 3-year-old in the morning. And then in the afternoon, I have to go work on some transition planning for a student that's about to graduate from high school. I could be in 5 different school buildings in the course of a day. The biggest challenge for me in teaching deaf and hard of hearing students is keeping up with the technology. I have a student that's learning American Sign Language, but that's not his primary mode of communication. So of the students that I have on my caseload, they're all spoken language. So they all have some type of technology, some type of hearing aids. They have cochlear implants now. And so it's just figuring out what's the best type of technology to help them in the classroom, because a lot of the classrooms now have laptops, Chromebooks, they use a lot of smart boards, and so just making sure that the students have access to that. Some of the joys of my work is when you see students make connections of things that you think is just so normal and everyday, but it's like something new to them. Something as simple as, if I take this blue crayon and color, and then I color a yellow crayon on it, look, it's magic. It turns to green. I had a student, and that just like blew his mind, just stuff like that. So for a whole week, that's all we did was just color and just mix colors. Seeing them making those discoveries and those connections, because they don't have access to the language like everybody else does. They don't get that incidental learning from just overhearing something and pairing that to their experiences. They go through that, and just kind of seeing them like, oh, that's what that is? That's kind of cool.
You can find more regional stories at welcomeproject.valpo.edu. That's it for Regionally Speaking for today. I'm Chris Nolte. Thank you for joining us. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll talk with Hammond Mayor Tom McDermott Jr. about a very special program involving historic downtown Hammond, how they're doing work on Homan Avenue, and how citizens in the region can talk about that as well and participate in the public hearing that is coming up in Hammond on Thursday. And we hope you'll join us for tomorrow's program.